It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills football Monday on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
They throw a quick hitter to Coleman, who catches it over the head of Woolen for a touchdown. Smith under center. Trips as he drops from center, and he's sacked. Sacked on the play by Greg Rousseau. It's a turnover on downs for Buffalo. Pocket collapsing. Allen's going to step up. He fumbled the football. It's loose, but Ty Johnson hops on it, and it's a first down. Steps up in the pocket. Throws. Has Kincaid lunging into the end zone for the touchdown. Hand off to Cook, going to try to bounce it outside. It's a race to the pylon, and he's in for a two-yard touchdown run. Hand off goes to Cook right up the gut. And into the end zone for his second rushing touchdown of the game. Another blitz coming and has to get rid of it. And it's intercepted. It's picked off. Austin Johnson with the INT.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Bills win in Seattle. It's a victory Monday. We're hanging out with you, Jeremy and Joe. Josh Schmidt producing, dropping the grunge rock underneath the highlights of Chris Brown. Bills Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. We had a Tom Brady game. Welcoming your opinions on Tom Brady if you listen to what he had to say on the broadcast. I got something for you on that. And the Bills win. Big day for Keon Coleman. Big day for Khalil Shakir. Big day for Josh Allen. Big day for James Cook. Mm-hmm. That's actually the best version of Everybody Eats I've ever seen from a Joe Brady offense.
Yeah.
They piled on the points. They had a 100-yard receiver, a 100-yard rusher, and their best receiver wasn't – I shouldn't say that. Like, I don't want to say Coleman was better than Shakir and necessarily pit them against one another. Shakir had a great day, and Coleman had a great day.
Shakir first half was getting open, and it was at the end of the half. You know, it was when the rain started coming down, he took his gloves off. And Allen let the ball slip out of his hands. He kicked it. There was another guy maybe who had a drop. Maybe Coleman had a drop on that drive, too. He had that one along the sideline. Maybe that was later. And Shakir, it was just like sure-handed, no gloves, just right in there. Felt like he was the guy that was helping them work down the field.
Channeling his Nick O'Leary, former Bills tight end.
A little bit.
No gloves. Well, you can give us a call at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. One thing I thought Brady brought up that I liked, because I'm on a personal mission to normalize people being mad on the sidelines. When the Seahawks players were fighting each other.
Yeah, they had their hands in each other's face masks.
And
yeah.
He said, that happens, that's normal. And he started to talk about some of the biggest fights he ever got in with guys that he loved, like Josh McDaniels. Like, he was referencing, oh yeah, that happens all the time. That's you know, these guys are brothers. They care a lot, because I just think there's a push to try and turn every sideline squabble into a team is coming undone at the seams. And all it really is accountability. That guy that took a penalty, the other guy was mad at him, and they got after it a little bit. And then they're okay and lost by, 21 to the Bills. It also had elements of a Bills drought loss for Seattle. You've attended those Bills games. You trip over your center on fourth and goal. You have the bad snap. You score a touchdown late in the fourth quarter, and they play the touchdown song, and you're like, why are we doing this? We just got blown out. So Seattle had a rough game, pretty rough, about as bad as it could go for them. Josh Allen, as you heard in the highlight there, kicked the ball forward to Ty Johnson. I mean, everything came up Bills.
It felt like it was weird, right? Like it felt like they dominated the game, but they also got the lucky breaks.
Yeah, it felt like they should have been up by 30 when it was 14-3.
Yeah, and it could have been worse.
It could have been
because
much worse.
If Seattle punches those two plays inside the 3-yard line into the end zone, then just like that, I mean, they have the lead, right? If Allen doesn't, I mean, there's a lot of what ifs in football, but you could play that game very easily in this game. If the Seahawks punch two balls into the end zone and Allen doesn't kick the ball forward to a guy for a first down, then Seattle's got the lead at halftime. But I wouldn't have also told you they outplayed the Bills.
No,
even if that had happened. Like, it would have felt lucky in that way if Seattle had the lead.
The
Bills got the breaks too.
There are a couple moments it felt like it didn't have to be a blowout, that Seattle could have hung in.
Yeah.
But
they had a couple drives there in the second quarter where they were throwing. They had one drive. Maybe this was like the only drive where they really beginning to end, like, move the ball on the Bills, and I think they did it with like 8 straight pass plays.
Yeah.
Like, they were throwing the ball over the middle. They got Fant involved a little bit. Smith and Jigba had a couple of plays. Yeah, it was 13 plays, 71 yards. And they ran the ball on that 13-play drive. Before first and goal, they ran it one time. Then they ran it, and then they fumbled. And then it was that was it, field goal time. So Seattle, when they threw it, they did okay at times. They could not run the ball, though, at all. Like, it was a very one-dimensional team that was built up as a one-dimensional team, and they looked like a one-dimensional team.
803-0550. Quick, I'm going to do a follow-up. Week 11. The Week 11 schedule.
Okay.
Someone just wrote in, this is Bills Chiefs. Like, will Bills Chiefs be flexed into the Sunday night game is a question I got asked. No. Pretty firmly, no. Right?
One, aren't they a 425 game?
Yes. It's going to be a protected CBS.
Yeah.
You're not taking that game. 425 basically is prime time. The spot is held by Colts Jets Sunday night football. Maybe not so much for that. What could get
that might get flexed out.
You know what could get flexed in is Ravens Steelers.
Yep.
Packers Bears.
Yep.
You've got options, but I would say Seahawks Niners even maybe. But I think I would confidently say, and maybe we can ask Sal this when he comes on at 8 o'clock. You know, he talks to the scheduling guy. There are games that are protected, and 425 games are protected. Chiefs Bills, like, you can't come calling for that game. The flex schedule is about getting games that need more exposure, and a 425 is, you know, it's going to be a big game. Pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs could lose next week to the Bucs. Just putting that out there. The Bucs are not bad. They did lose, but they're not bad.
They're out of receivers. Is Mike Evans coming back for that game?
No, I don't think so. 803-0550. All right, on Allen's performance, on Coleman, who looks every bit the part of a really good rookie receiver, something the Bills have needed for a while. They've needed a guy like Coleman to come in and be that guy. Cooper, I would say non-factor. He was on the field, but, you know, didn't play much of a role in catching the ball. It was Coleman, Shakir, Kincaid. It was spreading the ball around. It was what the Bills probably envisioned from their offense at its best. And James Cook ran the ball well, so everything went well. On the defensive side, you know, Geno got pressured and threw the ball away. Threw a pick to a defensive lineman. For a guy that said, please blitz me, he threw an interception to a defensive lineman when he got blitzed once. So he had a rough day, too. No answers for Sean McDermott and Bobby Babbage's defense. 803-0550 to Mike in Pennsylvania up next. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning on this Elite Fall Victory Monday. Watching the Bills, it's refreshing seeing the offense evolve and all the young talent step up from Khalil to Dalton Kincaid. To Keon Coleman, to James Cook and Ray Davis. I mean, there's a lot to get excited for, and there was even a Dawson Knox sighting yesterday to start the game off. But
two catches, like the way two catches for Dawson Knox.
Two catches. Yeah, so I just like the way that the offense feels, and it looks like we can, when the weather starts to set in, we can ground and pound, which I really like that about this offense. It's not a one-dimensional offense. Or they could spread the ball out through the air. So kudos to the Bills and all the young players that are stepping up right now. And I'm not going to jinx us, but hopefully this could be the year we run all the way.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike. You know, the all the way stuff. I don't back away from that. They're absolutely a contender.
Do you feel like they have a better chance than they did last year at this time? Because wouldn't that be obvious? They were losing games in the middle of last year. They might even miss the playoffs.
Yeah, but last year was more right. They went through their stretch, and it was annoying because you thought, you're way better than this. Are you actually going to miss the playoffs?
Right.
And of course they didn't. Yeah, I guess you'd have to say they have a better chance than they did last year. Last year their offense was in crisis, and they fired a coach.
Yeah.
And this year their offense was in crisis and they traded for a player.
I think I'm more confident because I think their pass game is better than it was a year ago. We didn't know it at the time, but their pass game was not right. It was not fully formed.
Yeah.
And this year, the signs point to they've got it. They've got weapons. Cooper is going to have big games. Like, I'm not worried at all about him only having one catch yesterday.
They have a depth of weapons that they have not had in quite some time, because Shakir's breakout came when Diggs faded, and Kincaid was around, but not exactly some sort of breakout candidate last year.
Yeah.
And then your receivers after Diggs and Davis were Hardy and Sherfield, and if you look up what they had last year for numbers, it will stun you. You think the numbers are low. It's right. Even lower than you think. Now, they do have competent guys they can play in the form of a rookie in Keon Coleman, who's been really impressive so far.
And I'm interested to see from the breakdowns, like, did Cooper being in the game impact the others at all? Like, was it easier for Shakir in this game? Was it easier for Coleman? Coleman had the matchup, but Belichick's talked about this. A lot of teams will go, they'll put their top corner on one-on-one on your number two guy, and then they'll double cover the number one guy. I have no idea if that's what Seattle did yesterday, but we did see Woolen on Coleman a lot one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's what happened. Maybe Cooper drew attention to the other side, and the Seahawks said, well, our number one guy can cover Coleman. And then he kind of couldn't cover Coleman. Because Coleman even got the pass interference that he drew. That doesn't show up on the stat sheet. But
yep.
The pass interference that he drew, that was the question about Keon Coleman. The thing, not even a question, it was the thing he didn't do well at Florida State was, hey, you're getting jammed on the line of scrimmage. And in this play, you're getting jammed on the line of scrimmage by Tariq Woolen. And his release, he gets by him. So Woolen has to grab him. And that's where the flag comes in. And that play right there, like that penalty he draws, is just the first second of your route you drew that penalty because you shook him free at the line of scrimmage. And I don't know how consistent he's going to be at that, but that's something he's not supposed to be very good at, and he did it in that moment.
His separation scores and numbers are still not good.
Right.
But there are receivers that win other ways. Some guys win with separation. Other guys win in other ways by being big-bodied or whatever. You know, Mike Evans doesn't have great separation scores, but it's fine. He wins all the time.
He also is pretty good-looking on screen passes.
He is. Like he turns up the field. His
yak ability really is.
He is an aggressive turn-up-the-field runner, and it's going about as well as you could possibly ask for Keon Coleman. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Go to Mo in New Jersey. Hey, Mo.
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy Victory Monday. Always feels good to call on a Monday after a win. A couple of quick things before I get to my point. Not Bills related, but even in our darkest days during the drought, I would never wish injury on anyone, not even Tom Brady. I sincerely hope Stephon Diggs will be okay. I know he's no longer a Bill, but he was a big part of this team for the last 4 years. It's unfortunate what happened with him, but hopefully he's okay. Talking about Tom Brady, I think as a Bills fan watching that game, we enjoyed that game so much that it didn't really matter what he did or didn't do. But I think he did a fine job. Like, he gave good analysis. I like the insight from former players. I enjoy that more as a fan because you get to hear what things, like how things happen, how things get handled on the sideline, like you said about the fight earlier. So it was really good. I enjoyed that broadcast. I prefer CBS over Fox, but he did a good job. Now, to my Bills point, I know we've had a couple of easier wins as a team earlier this year, Jaguars, Dolphins. But as a complete game, from the offense, the defense, not so much the special teams. I don't know if you guys talked about it. I think the only thing I would say about this game that we didn't do well was the return game. There was one punt return and one kick return that we took out of the end zone that probably shouldn't have happened. But other things aside, like, Josh Allen had, I think, his best day this season. Even though he threw that interception, his passes were crisp. They were on time. They were on target. Maybe with the, again, exception of the interception, it looked a little behind Cooper. But I think as a unit, offensively and defensively, they came prepared. And if you watch Sean McDermott's post-game speech, he thanked everybody. He said, good job by the players. But he thanked everybody on the staff. And they really came prepared. That's really good to see. It's not an easy place to go. It's into Seattle and do what they did. It was 31-3. I mean, that touchdown they scored in the fourth quarter, it counts. But let's be honest, that game, you know, could have went a lot of different ways. We got a lot of lucky breaks, which happens to good teams, right? But we did what we had to do. We dominated the first and second half, right? We didn't fall asleep at the wheel to start the game. We took control of that game. And it was pretty much smooth sailing. At no point during this game, even after the interception, was I really stressed during this game.
That's a good point. I don't think there was a single moment for me either where I felt stressed.
Same.
In this entire game. They had first and goal. Were they down, was it only 7-3 at that point, Bills? 7-3. Let me just double check. Yeah, 7-3 Bills. They've got third and goal on the one in the second quarter. 6 minutes to go in the second quarter. They've got 1 yard to take a 10-7 lead. I wasn't that worried. Like, they're not going to lose this game. Seattle's not look good. They threw a pick. All right, it happens. And then, of course, you know, he falls.
As soon as the Bills had their first drive and got off to such a good start, I thought, like, all right, they're fine. This game's over. Sometimes it takes them a half to get their bearings. And there have been games where they had bad second halves, but I just thought they'd be fine, right? They had a bad second half against the Jets. Other than that, if they get off to a good start, they're going to put 30 on the board. And that's what they did. Scored early, ran away with it. You know, their ability to run the ball better than years past is nice. They throw for 283 in this game. They run for 164.
Mm-hmm.
That's with three kneel downs for Trubisky. Poor Trubisky, -3 rushing yards. LVP.
Get out the rushing yards.
He's the LVP. Yeah. He's the only guy with negative yards out there. 803-0550. Coleman, 5-for-70 for a touchdown. You know, it's funny, like, thinking about revisiting that trade and the process that got them to Coleman. Because Worthy scored a touchdown yesterday, too, for Kansas City. Their offense is not in as good a spot as the Bills is right now. There's a lot of different things to say about how that trade down looks and how it went back. My favorite point to make, at least today, would be if the Bills knew Keon Coleman was A, this good and productive this early, would they have traded down?
No.
They
would have taken him.
They would have taken him. So, you know, there's part of it is it was a good receiver class. That's a part of this. Ricky Pearsall, we've yet to see what he's really going to do because he got shot and he's coming back. Leggett had a touchdown yesterday.
Leggett is starting to look pretty nice.
Leggett looks good. Yeah. Ladd McConkey had a big game.
Yeah.
Keon Coleman had a big game. Brian Thomas Jr. is having one of the better rookie seasons for a receiver in a long time. Malik Nabers will play tonight. He's missed a couple of games with injury, but he's been great. Yeah. Marvin Harrison had a good game. So it's not just Coleman. I think the class is living up to it. And Worthy, I mean, Worthy's not putting up gaudy numbers. He has 5 touchdowns for Kansas City. And I think that's more touchdowns than anybody else on the team. So the receiver class is living up to the hype.
Yeah, the whole thing. I did see yesterday that Coleman is 5th in the NFL in receiving yards over expectation. Like, he's got more than 100 more yards than you would expect. I wonder if that's because of the type of player he is, though. Like,
Ripping balls away, hard to bring down.
Yeah, the contested catches, not being a big separator. Like, you would think more naturally he's going to catch balls that have a
lower
expectation.
Have a high expectation. Maybe. I saw his yards over expectation versus Worthy's, because
Worthy's are bad. Yeah.
I think that's a Mahomes stat.
Yeah.
It's not like Worthy is catching.
Well, he had an 80-yard touchdown last week that Mahomes just completely missed him.
That's a Mahomes stat. Mahomes had a nice day yesterday. He had 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
All right. His first 2 touchdowns this month against the Raiders. Fun times. 803-05.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
50. Matt in Lockport. Hey, Matt, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Just wanted to say happy Victory Monday. Thanks for taking the call. Always love a Bills win, but I just want to hear your guys' thought process on this. Start off amazing, 7-0, coming hot out of the gate. 3 and out, force it first. 7-0 for us, three and out again. I'm a little concerned about how we're going to fare against the contenders and how we, you know, how aggressive we are moving forward. It's fourth and about 8 feet on our own side of the field. The Seattle offensive is lame. They have no Metcalf. They don't have anybody that can take the top off. They've shown no ability to get it down the field. The Bills have been moving. The offense is standing out there. It looks like they want to go, and we get taken off the field. We punt it. Seattle goes on a very long, time-consuming drive, and, you know, they don't end up scoring. We end up making the hold, and, you know, we get the ball back. But against the contenders, I just feel like we need to start, when we have Josh Allen, we need to start considering, at least let's line up and try to draw him off and, you know, get that extra first down and keep our offense on the field. I just don't love the fact that we're not considering those when analytics says to go for it. We have 17, and those are the plays that we need to make against the contenders to go up 14-0 and really try to put a game away early. That was my only complaint about the game. I think everybody else looked great on every end. I just kind of want to hear what your guys' thought process is on that one is.
Yeah. I don't know what the numbers said about. So the fourth and two that they punted on was their own 42. And field position matters there. If they're at the other 42, they're going to go for that. Their own 42. Okay, I'm going to pull up Ben Baldwin's fourth on weekly decision list to see how the Bills did in this game. I didn't have a huge problem with it because, you know, like you said, that if you think, what are you going to do against the contenders? We'll see what they do in that game against the contender. If they're playing a team that they think they can't, I know, it's how it always goes. Well, you can't stop this team you're playing against. Well, should you pin them deep to make them go 80 yards, or should you give them a short field or time and distance and all that? The Bills, yards to go. Okay.
I got it. ESPN analytics, at least. Fourth and two, 26 seconds to go, end of the first quarter.
Yeah.
At the 42. They liked go. Plus 0.9% in win percentage.
Okay. Ben Baldwin has it as plus 0.8%.
Yeah.
So less than a percentage of win probability. And one thing I like to point out all the time, there's a lot of different ways to measure this. McDermott has often been, until like the Arizona game, has often been really good at not giving away win percentage by kicking the ball. And one of the ways that they filter that through is, did you give up 1% of win probability or more? And this would not fall in line. So this would not show up as a miss by McDermott by that measure. How often is a coach giving away a full point?
Right.
He did not. Could they have gone for it? Sure, I wouldn't have been upset by it. It was their only punt before it was 31-3. Their only punt.
Is that right?
Yes.
They didn't have another
touchdown.
Okay, right. They had a field punt, goal, on
interception,
a fourth down.
Touchdown, field goal, touchdown, touchdown. Then the game's 31-10 and they punt.
Yeah.
Their only punt. I'm just not going to worry about it. They weren't playing the Chiefs. They weren't playing the Ravens.
That's another one, too, where McDermott does act differently based on who he's playing.
He so does. Like, that said, against the Ravens, fourth and three,
yeah,
they punted.
I know.
Woof. I mean,
he's one of these guys where he thinks fourth and two versus fourth and three, that was a big difference.
That's right. He does.
So fourth and two on that situation, and he's playing Kansas City, I want to bet you he would go for that. On his own 42, that situation, exactly the same, I bet he goes.
803-0550 to join us. It is Buffalo Bills Victory Monday, Football Monday. Get on board with us. Give us a call, a thought on any part of the game. Bills win 6-2. Ho-hum. Fifth straight AFC East title looking like it's on its way. Jeremy and Joe on WGR on a Victory Monday.
Back to pass, four-man rush. Has time, looking deep over the middle, and it's broken up. Baylen Specter and Cam Lewis, both in the passing lane on the throw that it was intended for Smith and Jigba. It's incomplete, and it's another three and out for Seattle.
Four of them at the goal line. They bring three. Daniels backing up. He's just going to have to let one fly. Goes to the right side. Steps away from the defender. Gives himself some time. Now steps up, fires, heads towards the end zone. It is
touchdown!
Commanders called the Hail Mary. They just let a bunch of dudes in the press box.
How many people were on the call for that? Just like five people just screaming at the same time.
That's great. Jaden Daniels to Noah Brown for the Hail Mary.
That must be fun to be a Commanders fan right now.
Yeah.
6-2. You found a quarterback.
It looks like he's got magic powers.
Your terrible owner's gone. Like, everything's
coming up Commanders. Yeah. Other thoughts around the league very quickly before we get back to calls on this victory Monday. The Bengals, when they wear their white uniforms and go white end zones, it looks terrible.
Zebras.
They should ditch it. It's awful.
Yeah,
tried to watch that game. It's hard to watch.
Yeah.
Hard on the eyes, and they lost. So good.
Easy to predict, but the Browns are infinitely better with Jameis Winston than Winston's not going to play that well every week, though. He was awesome in that game.
It's also worth pointing out the Ravens are a Kyle Hamilton catch-a-pass thrown directly to him away from clinching that game.
Right.
And he dropped it, and they lost.
And the Texans, if Diggs is out, we'll see. If he's out for the season.
It's just Tank Dell.
Now, Collins, I saw yesterday. He's close. He's not only close. They were, I guess, clocking him pregame. And he was running 22 miles an hour.
Okay, so Collins is close.
So Collins, the second he gets off IR, is going to be right back.
Well, if they beat the Jets and send them to 2-7, that would be lovely.
I just wondered in the break, will the Jets trade Adams at the deadline if they fall to 2-7? What's the point? Hang on to him. Trade him. Get your pick back. Send him to, Kansas City was the first name I thought of.
Yeah.
The Chargers. Send him to the Chargers.
803-0550. By the way, before we get to calls, it is a... Adam Schefter referred to this as a sports equinox. I don't know if that's maybe the term we want.
Okay.
All four major sports tonight.
Okay.
World Series game, NHL action, Monday Night Football, NBA, all four sports tonight.
Yeah.
Rich in Larkinville. Hey, Rich.
Hey, what's up, Jeremy and Joe? Happy Victory Monday.
Morning. Thanks for calling.
I wanted to say I've been a lifelong Brady hater, and this is the first time I got to actually listen to him on the TV. And I enjoyed you guys picking on him what he was going to say yesterday. But I did enjoy him. I thought he was a very professional announcer. And what really blew me away was when he said that Keon Coleman's catch was ridiculous. I'm like, wow, this guy's almost a closet Bills fan. What's up with that?
Yeah. One thing, he also referred to Kenneth Walker as one of his favorite players to watch in the NFL. Which, at some point, you can't – I was fine with Brady yesterday. You can't say you love everyone. That's what Gruden used to do.
Uh-huh.
Everyone's a great player. Everyone's great. I love watching everyone. You know, at some point, we want a little bit more of who did what wrong, who made the mistake there, blah, blah, blah. So, that's all. Commenting that a catch was nice. Maybe Bills fans came with this idea that Brady was going to be bitter about the Bills. Why would he ever have hated the Bills for anything? He had like two bad days in his life against the Bills. So I wasn't ever of a belief he was going to be biased against them. He likes Josh Allen.
I just don't think you're ever going to hear anything that's really all that interesting from him.
He did do something he's not allowed to do.
Criticize officials?
Yes. As a part owner of the Raiders, he is not allowed to criticize officials. And
right.
He didn't necessarily...
Good, find him. Find him.
He didn't necessarily criticize officiating. He commented how there were too many penalties.
Yeah. Fitz was tweeting about that. Did you see that?
The penalties?
No, Fitz, who does not like Tom Brady, right? Like,
That's right.
He tweeted, hey, Tom Brady, like at Tom Brady. Hey, at Tom Brady, any calls by the refs or teams you have criticisms for lately? Just curious to get your take on all the flags.
Look at Fitz out here. Number one hater.
Body bagging Tom Brady.
What a hater.
I love it. Listen, of the two, I was mentally prepared, like, oh, I'm going to hate this, but Tom Brady's probably going to be good at this year. When I watch the Manning cast, I love when Peyton Manning like gets on the thing and like whatever. Like, he shows you like what happened on a play. He's at his little helmets or whatever. Brady's not doing any of that. He's in a different job.
It's a different job.
Belichick is the one that I am now having to come to grips with. He's Bill Belichick.
He's
I want to hate him, and Bill Belichick is amazing on TV.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
And Brady is not. I don't think he's very interesting.
Brady's,
and he comes off as very fake, as was predictable.
I mean, I thought it was fine. It's just that job is generally that job. You're either
his timing is still off. By the way, there's times where like he's about to start a sentence, and then like, oh, I got to call. Burkhart's got to get in there to call the play.
Mike in Orchard Park, more on the Brady review. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Real quick on the Brady thing. Man, this guy ruined my childhood. maybe I'm biased or what, but I was just not having it. I was just cringed every time he talked about the Bills. But I think he'll do all right. You know, I think I'll enjoy when he's not calling Bills games. Now, talking about the game, you know, I just felt we beat a team we were supposed to beat. You know, I was glad we, you know, traveling to the West Coast, we were able to go out there and not come out flat and play, you know. And my last point is, you know, McDermott and Bean, we're building a program, right? And I don't really feel like we're building to win in the division, right? I'm happy, you know, where we're at, but I'm looking at the long game, you know. I'm looking forward to the Kansas City game, and, you know, we got to get one this year, you know. So, you know, I feel content where we're at, and, you know, hopefully we can keep this run going.
All right. Thanks, Mike. 803-0550. And beating teams you're supposed to beat. Not everybody did that yesterday. Baltimore didn't do that, right?
Baltimore has now done that twice. They lost to the Raiders, and they lost to the Browns.
The Dolphins did not beat a team they were supposed to beat. The Jets didn't beat a team they were supposed to beat.
Jets have done that multiple times this year, too. So
the Bengals were 2.5-point favorites and lost by 20.
How many games left is that for the Bills where it's a team they're supposed to beat? Is it all but two or three?
It is definitely
Miami
and Indianapolis, New England twice, and the Jets. That's five.
The Rams.
Rams, probably. I mean, the Rams, watch the Rams get a little scrappy here. They're still alive, and with Puka and Cooper Kupp both back.
That game might feel like yesterday.
Might.
Like, hey, that this team's okay, pretty good, you're on the road, West Coast.
That's at least five. I mean, are you supposed to beat the Niners, the Chiefs, the Rams, the Lions? No. Is that all their games left? That's all of them.
I would not say you're supposed to win at the Lions.
No.
Are you? We'll see where the Niners are at by then. Are you supposed to beat the Niners at home if they're still a 500 team by that point?
Very likely, yes. But even then, they're one of the better teams, and the Niners went in last night and got their win.
But if you just win the games you're supposed to win the rest of the year, let's take out Kansas City, San Francisco, and Detroit. You just win the games you're supposed to win where it's a 5-loss football team. Like, you're the 2 seed, or you're the 3 seed.
Yeah. I mean, Baltimore's already got 3 losses.
Like, yeah,
if you're looking at the 2 seed right now, I'm just not really buying Houston right now. I don't think Houston, they should have blown the Colts out. They did have a late fumble, goofy play.
They've played a lot of close games.
They really have.
This year. How many double-digit point wins do they even have?
Houston?
Yeah. Can you remember a game where they were the talk of the league because they blew somebody out?
No.
Their season so far, they beat the Colts by 2 in the opener. They beat the Bears by 6. They got rolled by the Vikings. They beat the Jags by 4. That's not that impressive. They beat the Bills by 3, and the Bills were horrible that day.
Yep.
They beat New England by 20. But it's New England. Lost to Green Bay by 2, beat the Colts by 3. They got like
one game.
They got one blowout win, and it was at New England. All right. Like, that's not that impressive. You look at point differential on the season. Like, the Bills, for instance, are plus 84 on the year, and Houston's plus 9.
Yeah, I just don't think they're that good right now. Be caller 5 to win a pair of tickets to see comedian Sean Murphy at Rob's Playhouse Theater on Saturday, November 2nd. Sean Murphy, a New York City comedian originally from Buffalo, whose likability and awkwardness keeps audiences captivated whenever he performs. A regular at the Comedy Cellar, he has a great YouTube special called Neil and performs in top comedy clubs across the country. Visit PlayhouseTix.com for details. Again, that's caller 5 to win a pair of tickets to 221-4WGR. Jeremy and Joe back on the other side. More of Victory Monday. Sal and Chris Brown in the 8 o'clock hour. Your calls throughout.
Handoff goes to Walker, and he's stopped! Stopped by a swarm of defenders, but Greg Rousseau was there first. It's a loss of one. Fourth and goal.
Did you hear him out there? I've never heard this place like that in all my years in the NFL. Been out here a number of years. I've never heard that. And that's a testament to the Bills, testament to the Bills fans, and the organization, really, for the tradition that they've built over the years.
Slice of Audio brought to you by Picasso's Pizza. That slice of audio from the locker room. Picasso's Pizza is your game day tailgating headquarters. Jeremy and Joe, good Monday morning. Victory Monday. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Home this week for the Dolphins. Tua stayed healthy through a game and got a standing ovation when he slid on a play. They did lose to Arizona.
You get a standing ovation when that happened?
Yeah, he slid and they were very happy. Early forecast for Sunday. Stop me if you've heard this before. It looks like it might be an elite fall day. 60. Overcast.
Let's go
is right. Home stretch coming up, kind of. I mean, they've got Indy in between, but it's Dolphins, Chiefs, Niners. Three of the next four are at home with a bye week mixed in and a trip to Indy mixed in. So, you know, some big ones coming up. Beat Miami, beat the Chiefs, beat the Niners.
When's the earliest they could clinch? Ooh. Like, officially. If they were to... The Jets are going to be underdogs, I think, against Houston this week. I would be surprised if they weren't. So if they fall to 2-7 and the Dolphins fall to 2-6, the Bills go to 7-2. That'd be a 4.5 game lead. Probably still can't do it till what, like week 9 or 10? Or week 10, 11, I would think. But it's, I mean, it's over.
Yeah.
It's so over.
803-0550. We have time for a quick call here. Johnny in Buffalo. We don't? Come on. What?
What if you give him 30
seconds? We definitely do. Quickly. Johnny, what's up?
You have 30. Go ahead, Johnny.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Just real quick. I just loved Keon Coleman yesterday. Love what him and Josh are building. He's just an athletic freak. He's George Pickens without the attitude problem. Watching him just pancake guys, throw guys into the bench, just coming up big. I mean, it looked like he was a big brother picking on a little brother all day. And I'm excited to see him going forward. So that's all I'll say. Go, Bills. Happy Monday.
Thanks, Johnny. Yeah, Coleman kind of busting out here is a big part of the optimism I think a lot of people are feeling is what he's been doing. 803-0550. Sal joins us coming up next segment. Chris Brown as well. We'll get your calls in. Your calls, your texts, your tweets, your comments, 803-0550. Bunch of open lines. You want to jump in with Sal? Join us, Victory Monday on WGR. Buffalo Bills Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.